so we're so glad that you tuned us in and dialed us up, and you're watching live with us. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And we welcome all of those who are watching for the very first time. Thank you so much for joining us and partnering with us and checking us out online live on Facebook. And so if you'd like to connect with us and let us know that you're watching and who you are and kind of identify yourself a little bit, you can reach out via email at connect@twcc-sa.org, or you can reach out to us via text at 210-941-3322. And for all of our Facebook friends and families and those that are just partners with us online, we appreciate you so much watching and viewing with us, and we ask you just let us know, hey, I'm watching. You give us a little shout out in the comment section. Let us know that you're watching with us tonight, and we appreciate that so much. We also have an opportunity for you to be a blessing to us, and you can sow into this ministry and sow into this church and help us keep the gospel message going and growing throughout our community, our city, and our country, and help us with some of our causes that we do locally and our missions and world missions and things of that nature. We believe in giving and receiving as a church family, and we believe that you do too. And so you can give to us and sow to us real easy and convenient and safe and secure. You can do it through our website. Check out our website, www.twcc-sa.org/give. Then you can follow the instructions, and it's real easy to kind of follow and get it done. And of course, you can text your gift also to 210-941-1605. You put the dollar amount in the little section, what you want to give, and then text it to that number that you see on the screen. And so we're so thankful for all the gifts, large, small, and everything in between. Your gifts of love and generosity help us keep the gospel going and growing through Triumph Forward Christian Center. So let's get into the Word of God tonight. We got a good word to give you tonight, and we trust it will enrich you and encourage you, and it will enlighten you in a good, positive way. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for the opportunity in this time, on this day, to study the Word of God together. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit, and we trust him tonight to help unveil and unfold and reveal the Word of God unto our spirits. And we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy every yoke of bondage, remove barriers and blockages in our thinking and in our spiritual eyes. We thank you, Father God, for clarity and truth revealed in a mighty way in our hearts and in our homes. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So we started a new series, teaching series, on faith and family. And, of course, if you've been with us from Sunday, we started that new series on Mother's Day. And this on Wednesday night, we're going to have an emphasis on in faith, specifically about our spiritual family. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time really diving into the spiritual family aspect of our relationship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, and by His Spirit, and of course with each other. And so our spiritual family is of great importance to our Heavenly Father. We're going to spend eternity with our spiritual family. And, of course, we'll deal more with our natural family and faith in that context on Sunday mornings. On Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with faith in our spiritual family. And first and foremost, we're going to be dealing with faith in our identity in Christ. Faith in our identity in Christ, because we need to know who we are. We often say God is more interested in who you become more so than what you do. And so it's who before do. And so God's interested in our who we become. and who we be. So let's look at the Word of God, and let's start first in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I always say that's a very powerful identification scripture, because God revealed to Paul by the Holy Spirit that, hey, my old man is done. When Christ died, I died there with him. And I have no longer an existence. That's why he even changed his name to Paul, Saul to Paul. But he said, Christ lives inside of me. That's who I am. This is who I am. I am crucified with Christ. And so when we look at the context of our identification with Christ, we have to understand that the Gospels, friends, the Gospels is what happened to Christ. They give us a good graphic illustration of what happened to Christ. But the epistles, the letters to the church, particularly the ones that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote, it reveals to us what happened in Christ. So everybody say, to Christ, and then in Christ. And so we need to understand our identification is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Christ. Hallelujah. And so let's go to Philemon. It's only one chapter in that small little book. You might even call it Philemon. But Philemon verse number 6. Philemon verse number 6. Listen to this. That the sharing of your faith, King James says communication of your faith. In other words, we communicate our faith. And so we're talking about faith in our identity in Christ. The sharing of your faith may become effective. That's a good question to ask. Is my sharing of my faith effective? He said, well, how do we do that? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, where? In Christ Jesus. Now let's look at it in the Passion Translation. It says, I pray that your faith we share may be effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. And so the Amplified Classic says it this way, just to give you a couple of references to that one verse that's so powerful and so prevalent. And I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our, listen to this, our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Praise God. And so right off the bat, I want to encourage your hearts that and challenge you that we have to acknowledge our identity with Christ. Now, I'll give you a principle right up front that you must embrace, is that if you don't acknowledge your identity, you'll never access your inheritance. See, when God looks at you, friends, he sees you in him, but your faith will not be effective until you start to acknowledge, to confess, to declare your identity in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. So confession is one way we acknowledge it. So that means you, through your, from your heart, through your lips, your faith has to wrap around your identification with Christ. And so another way to acknowledge it is to act like it's so. To act like it. So you you speak it. You have to acknowledge it. You acknowledge it that way, but you also act like it. You act like a man or a woman in Christ. And you know the phrase, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. Okay? And so we need to understand that particular concept. So let's step back and take a more examinatory look at God's work at work in us, and God, our faith, working with God. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Where were we created? In Christ Jesus. Everybody say, in Christ Jesus. So see, every time it says in Christ, we have to stop and look at that. For what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are God's handiwork. We are the workmanship of God. There are things God has and is working in us, and things he's wanting to work out of us. This phrase, in Christ, next to the words when Jesus, as we shared a few weeks ago, said, "It is finished," in John chapter 19, verse 30, "It is finished," are some of the most outstanding, beautiful, and powerful, and awesome takeaways of the gospel. They are the big, big deals in the gospel. See, if you're not in Christ, you have to be in Christ. You may be in crisis because you've lost your identity. See, in Christ, let me put it a little bit more specifically and legally. In Christ is our blood covenant terms. So you're saying you're in union with Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection. Even though Jesus did it, he did it for you and for me, and he gave us the credit to our account just as if we did it ourselves. Praise God. And so that's what the technical legal aspect that we need to look at in Christ and be in Christed about. That means who we are in Christ is so critical and so important to learn. So these two words, these two ways, in Christ, reveal who we are, your identity, and number two, what you possess or what you have, your inheritance. You know how you get, sometimes you might get a pamphlet when you get benefits or you get insurance, and they tell you, well, these are the legal terms, and this is what you're legally responsible for, and this is what we promise to do for you and all this. And so these two terms, in Christ, is your blood covenant terms that says this is who you are and this is what you have. Now, many of us have never even examined and explored the depth and the breadth of who we are in Christ and what we possess in him. Our faith needs to go to work in this profound aspect of our salvation. Now listen to what Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 13 says. Read down the New Living Translation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says, "Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important." Listen to this. "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you." Where's God working? Somebody say, where's God working at? All this stuff going on around here. Where's God at? Where's God? No, he's working in you. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And what did we say this past Sunday? What pleases God? Faith pleases God. Our faith at work, our faith in action pleases God. So you have to work hard to show the results of your salvation. and obeying God. Praise glory. So this shows us that God is at work and that we are to work faithfully in the salvation of God done in us and for us. Now, our first primary work of our faith is twofold. We covered it a lot in great detail last month. Faith in the blood of Jesus, which includes the finished works of Christ. What did his death do for you? What did it bring to you? What did it benefit you for? Why was his death so important? Why do we take communion and remember and show forth his death until he comes? We need to know that. We need to have revelation knowledge. We need to have concept of that. We need to know our blood covenant, meaning our agreement with God, our new covenant, our better covenant based upon better promises. And what God, through Jesus, did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. Why did that happen? What was that for? See, these are discoveries and discernments that we all need to have about our spiritual family. Secondly, our faith is to be at work in discovering who we are, where we are. Where are you right now? What you are? Some people say, "What? Wait a minute! I thought, what am I?" Well, the Bible says you're more than conquerors through Christ. What are you? Now, some people identify with their past. I'm divorced. I'm widowed. I'm separated. I'm in trouble. I'm broke. I'm in great debt. I'm sick. They identify with things outside of Christ and not in Christ. So what you are is important. You're not defeated. You're not a worm. You're not a beggar. You're not an outcast. You are what God says you are. You are who God says you are. He deserves and reserves the right to tell you who you and I ought to be. And then what we possess in Christ. So we need to be discovering with our faith who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what we possess in Christ. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Everybody say work of faith. Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all of his good pleasure in of his goodness. And listen to this, the work of faith. Everybody say the work of faith. See, friends, what happened to you to Christ, excuse me, what happened to Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is greater than anything that would ever happen to you. So what happened to Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is greater than anything that would ever happen to you. Some people say, well, it's happened, you know, my partner went rogue, my husband, my wife, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me, this that happened to me. But what happened in Christ is far greater than anything that can ever and will ever happen to you. But you got to discover this by faith. God's amazing grace that he performed in Christ. Amen. We are the workmanship of God. We ought to be at work because our friends, our faith should be working. See, God doesn't make any trash. So you can't be defeated because he didn't make any failures either. Who are you? Failures are man-made, not God-made. There are no spiritual, what we call, birth defects. Some people say, I was born slow. I don't have a good memory. I don't have good abilities. I don't have any talents. And so they look at everything all in the natural sense of things, but you are something in Christ. Hallelujah. See, our faith should go to work before we physically get up and get to work. If we're working, the fundamental work of our faith should be in who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. Now, we said Monday, we referenced this verse, James chapter 2, verse 17, that thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Works just meaning corresponding actions of obedience. Monday we shared that our faith is either dead, intellectual only. It is demonic. That means it's intellectual and emotional. That means we say amen in church, and we say glory to God, and we shout hallelujah and great word. And then when the circumstances and storms of life and situations hit us, we forget who we are. That's demon faith. The Bible says in James, even the demons believe and tremble. That means it's just emotional. It's never got into our true heart. Amen. And then there's dynamic faith. So we either have dead faith, demon faith, or dynamic faith. That's where we have to locate our faith. What's my faith doing right now? See, if we don't work our faith in and on these truths, we can become a victim of spiritual, listen to what I'm saying, identity theft. Spiritual identity theft. Now, we know about that in the natural. Many of us have probably been victimized. And even on social media, people, it's common to people say, my account or my name's been hacked. I've been hacked. Now, you went on somewhere and somebody got their information a little bit and started using their identification. And what is it? They hacked them. What about perhaps you've done some transactions online and somebody got your account or somebody got a hold of your phone information and these kind of things, and they stole your identity. There's a big crime today. But a bigger crime, listen to me, a bigger crime is those who lose their spiritual identity. Because you and I, friends, are not just flesh and blood and bones. We are a spirit. We possess a soul and we live in a body. The real man, the real person is your spirit person. That's the man or woman in Christ. Now I'm going to give you a short little account of a lady who had been educated to a master's degree level. She served in a church back in the day, was told by a mighty prophet of God, and she served in her church as a Sunday school superintendent. She was a Sunday school, and she was very good at it. She's very dutiful. She wasn't on payroll or anything. She had about 200 plus people in her Sunday school, and she went throughout the whole week and visited all of her students who did not show up for Sunday school as a follow-up. So she showed up to their house and made sure they were okay, or called them and checked on them and stuff like that. So she went around, and the only thing the church did was pay her expenses. But she had a master's degree in Christian education. But she had these nagging issues. She said, I had anxiety issues and worried a lot about little small stuff and fretted over small things. So she had that tendency, okay? Is everybody listening? And every time allergies or you know, pollen would you know, go up high, she would have nasal issues, sinus issues, sneezing, you know, post-nasal drip, all that kind of stuff. And then she said, I had these pains in my body that would always come back on occasion, reoccurring occasions, come back and hurt me and feel, you know, I'd be in pain in my muscles and joints and stuff like that, stiffness. And so she would have challenges physically and mentally, emotionally. And she said, you know, here I am. I got a master's degree in Christian education, but she didn't have a revelation of who she was in Christ. And when Kenneth E. Hagin showed up at the church and challenged the church and said, for the next whatever amount of time, he said there's 130 plus scriptures in the New Testament that says in Christ, in him, in whom, through Christ, by Christ. And he said, circle or underline them. He said, if you can't circle and underline in your Bible, then throw your Bible away. He said, circle and underline them and then write them out. Why do you write them out? Because you commit them to memory and you put your faith into practice to acknowledge them. He said, every time you write one down, he said, this is who I am. This is where I am, or this is what I have in Christ. And so she began to write them down. She said he came back about 45, maybe 60 days later or so. It may have been 2.5 months, somewhere around that time. A couple of months later, let's just say it that way. He came back, and he looked at her, and she said she had a glow on her face. And she said, Brother Hagin, I didn't get to all 130, but I got to 30 of them. And I wrote down all 30, those scriptures, 30 scriptures, and said this, and every day said, this is who I am. This is what I have in Christ. She released her faith in who she was and what she had, what she possessed in Christ. She said, I don't know if this is real or true. I know it is, but it is in any way you can be born again. She said, I have the same joy, even more so now than when I first got born again. I got the same joy restored back into my heart in my life. The same glow. And she said, all the symptoms she had, the one I just listed earlier, she said, all those symptoms, those nagging symptoms, you know, the sinus issues, the anxiety tendencies and the worry tendencies and the pain, the persistent recurring pain that would come back in her physical body. She said, all of that's gone. I don't have any more pain anymore. I don't have any more problems like I had physically or mentally or emotionally that I had before. Does everybody see what I'm talking about tonight? All right, so let's keep going. So that's a good testimony that should help us understand that our faith should be working in this aspect of truth. Why? So that we won't become a victim of spiritual identity theft. And we know when you have an identity crisis, you are in crisis. See, our identity is found in the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If we don't know who we are, then we act or behave like someone or something else, like someone we are not. We are in crisis, a spiritual identity crisis. See, if the enemy can get us into pride or in strife or self, some people are so prideful in their heritage, their natural skin tone and color. I'm black, I'm white, I'm this and that. You know, yes, I understand those are categories and color and cultures that we tend to cling, but we need to be identified first and foremost with Christ. Who we are, where? In Christ. Because if we're not in Christ, we are in crisis. You can be proud of the color of your skin. You can be proud of the culture you come up out of. You can be proud of the category you find yourself in or the class you're in. But let me tell you, that's going to keep you in crisis. But you got to discover and discern who you are in Christ and what you possess in him. If he get us into strife and selfishness, we forget who we are. Then what happens? We act like who we're not. We act like someone else. And we lose access to our identity and our inheritance in Christ. See, these outstanding and remarkable works of God, both our identity and our inheritance, are given and provided for us by his amazing grace. This is a grace of God. grace has made these things. And like we said, what God did in Christ, he wanted to do for every man and every woman and every boy, girl, and child. He wanted to do everything he wanted to do. He did it in Christ, and then he put you and I in him. So these are three important truths to understand about our work of faith. Everybody say work of faith. So number one, our work of faith is co-laboring with God and his work. We're not just independently just carrying our faith pitchfork or pitch axe and trying to chop away at our mountains in our lives. Yes, faith is a team sport. That means we work together with God. That means we are the workmanship of God. That means we find out what the will of God is, and that faith begins where the will of God is known. Our faith, our work of faith is focused first on his finished works, the finished works of Jesus, and then on the other works in and through us. Thirdly, our faith works and it opens the door for grace to go to work in and through us. We said grace makes, faith takes. Faith takes what grace has made available. It's by grace that we can be a man or woman in Christ. It's by grace that we can enjoy the grace of prosperity in and through our lives and through our families. It's by grace that we get to participate in the benefits of healing and divine health and divine life in our physical body and in our minds and emotions. It's by grace that we are saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. That means this gift is the gift of faith that God gives us to access his amazing grace. See, faith gives access to the empowering touch and the empowering work of grace in our lives. Faith opens the door for the supernatural power and ability of God's grace. He said, okay, here's God's grace. I open the door for grace to go to work. And by us acknowledging every good thing that's in us, that's in Christ Jesus, we open the door for that grace, that amazing grace of supernatural identification with Christ and our inheritance in Christ to go to work in us and through us and out of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at what Romans 4:16, the Amplified Classic, says. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only the devotees and adherents of the law, but those who share the faith of Abraham, that is, who is thus the father of us all. Praise God. It is an outcome of faith. Faith opens the door for grace to go to work. Faith gives access to the empowerment of grace. So the big question is our faith at work? And what is our faith working on? Is another big question. Now, we have to understand the holistic aspect of grace. The holistic aspects of grace is that, first of all, we have saving grace. This keeps us from being lost and dying and going to hell. It's by God's grace that we don't die a sinner's death because Jesus did it for us. See, it's the impartation of God's love, God's forgiveness, and cleansing from all sin, its forms and manifestations. And then there's sanctifying grace. That's another aspect of grace. Because grace is multifaceted and multidimensional. It's not just saved by grace. It is also sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace keeps us from being contaminated. It is the impartation of God's holiness. We have positional holiness in Christ, and we have behavioral holiness working in and out of us because of Christ, by Christ. And then number three, we have strengthening grace. Strengthening grace keeps us from being defeated by sin, sickness, shame, and sorrow, and Satan, of course. It is the impartation of God's might and muscle in and through you. When Paul was dealing with that situation, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he besought the Lord three times and said, Lord, can you get this messenger of Satan off of me? And God came resoundingly back to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then he got a revelation. He said, I glory in my weaknesses and in my infirmity. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Then there's sharing grace. It keeps us from lack and selfishness. We become God's steward, and we participate in his plan of generous living. That means we live generously. And of course, it's the impartation of God's generosity in our hearts and in our lives and through our lives. Sharing grace. That means we sometimes, before Christ, we may have been stingy, selfish, miserly, beggarly, tightwadish. Only think about our three favorite people, me, myself, and I. But see, when you get the grace of God working on you and working out of you, you become generous. Hallelujah. You become extravagantly generous. Somebody say glory to God. And then number five, serving grace. It keeps us from being unfruitful and unproductive. It is the impartation of God's ability and power to increase, multiply, and produce much fruit. See, this a product. Grace is a product of our faith at work. Then grace, we give access to grace to go to work. And by grace, it produces. By grace, it provides. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the law of identification as we go through here, and let's see this big scripture that we all need to embrace. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, somebody once said you can be in church, but it's more important to be in Christ. In other words, you look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Old things are passed away. So he's a brand new species of being. He's new in kind, new in quality, something unheard of before. You're a new creation. Everybody say, I'm a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ. And we often say every day is and should be for each and every one of us in a new day in Christ. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, if you're old and sick and tired, hallelujah, of how things are working out, then you haven't looked at who you are in Christ recently. If you haven't seen who you are in Christ lately, then you're probably having trouble. You're probably in crisis. You're probably having concern. Because when you get excited and thrilled, you every day you'll get excited and thrilled of who you are in Christ and what you possess in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. All things become. So this identification is just basically a different definition is defined as considering or treating as the same, the condition or fact of being the same, and all qualities being under consideration. So God identified with us, with Christ, in his death, burial, resurrection, and seating in heaven. He embraced our condition so that we might live in him and he might live in us. Now go back to what we first said, what Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified, what? With Christ. He got a revelation of who he was. This is the glory and the mystery of Christianity, the power of the believer's identification with Christ. Hallelujah. So like we mentioned before, everything God did in Christ, he did it for you and me, and it is credited to our account as if we did it. Now, some people can't make that connection because they think, yeah, Jesus did it all, but he did it all for us. But then God turned around and credited it back to us as if we did it. And some people's head goes tilt. What are you telling me? When he went to the cross, I died there with him. When he went in the grave, I was buried with him. When he rose, I arose. When he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ, next to him in majesty on high. I'm seated far above all principality and power and rulers of darkness and dominions and might and every name that's named. See, Jesus did it on our behalf. But through the law of identification, God credited us with doing it. Wow. Our identity is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up with who you are in Christ and what you have in him. This is a big faith, ongoing faith development project for all of us to embrace. Ephesians 2:5 in the Phillips translation says this: he gave us life together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, think of it this way, friends. Think of it this way. Our Father God has already taken care of who? The devil, your righteousness, and your victory in life. He's already taken care of it. Now, the challenge is the devil keeps us focused on trying to get it taken care of. The same identical life, the same identical victory, joy, blessings that are in Christ are now in you. Now you have to discover them and develop in them by the exercise of your faith. Unfortunately, too many Christians live and die without really knowing their true identity. Other people never figure out who they are, so they act like someone else. Lower standards, act like someone's fad, someone's fashion, someone's family, someone's this. Favorite tendencies. No, we need to act like who we are in what? Christ. Somebody say glory to God. See, your identification with Christ is really based on seven spiritual laws. The whole Bible is really about two people, the first Adam and then the last Adam. Now let's look at Romans 5:14-21, and let's see this in vivid color through the scriptures. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, but according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Talking about Jesus, the last Adam. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace and the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For judgment had came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life, listen to this, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody said glory to God. So one man, Adam, affected everyone who was ever born. Adam's sin affected the whole human race. And you can no longer identify with just, in Christ, you can no longer identify with just your natural family. I know that's very important, and it should be. But you just can't identify with just your natural family. You are now identified with Christ, your spiritual family. Amen. And you have two identities. You have an individual identity, that's who you are in Christ, and then you have a corporate identity. That means who you are in the body of Christ. They're equally important. Who you are in the family of God is so important. Amen. See, there's no hope for man's condition without Jesus Christ. Listen to this again. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we just judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. How could Jesus Christ, one man, die on the cross and his death be for every man? It is simply by the law, the spiritual law of identification. Which means we were all identified with one man, Adam, and affected by him. We all were born into sin. We didn't have to do anything wrong. We just came into the earth and we were born into sin. We needed to be born again. See, this one man affected every person. But God simply took the same law and that allowed one man, Adam, to mess up everybody, and allowed one man, Jesus Christ, to die for everybody. One person messed everything up for everybody. The other one made it right for everybody, made the way for everybody. Somebody say glory to God. So we as born-again Christian believers and Christ followers are crucified with Christ. And as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, by the Holy Spirit, I've been crucified, what? With Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a good scripture to chew on every day. So your Heavenly Father cloned you and I with Christ and made you identical to him. You have the same identity. Why? Because we're seated in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Next to him. Right next to him. We're joint heirs with God, and we're heirs with God, and joint heirs with who? Jesus Christ. So we have the same identity, and we have the same inheritance. Ooh, we gotta spend some time working on this. And then, like our Lord Jesus Christ, we must find ourselves in the Bible. Look at Colossians 2, verse 3, and then I'll skip down to 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, and then 9 and 10. It says, in whom are hidden all treasures, talking about in Christ, of wisdom and knowledge. For in him, verse 9, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are what? Complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. See, when you look at the gospel, why is it so good, such good news to us? Not just that God did everything through Christ for us, but he's doing things in us now. He included us in the inheritance piece. So the gospel is a group picture. Anybody ever take a group picture? And so when you look at group picture, who's the first person you look for? It's yourself. Where am I in this picture? Well, that's what you do with the Gospels, with the in him, in whom, in Christ scriptures. You look for yourself and say, this is who I am, this is where I am, and this is what I have. So the Word of God must be engrafted into our inner man so we know who we are in Christ. We carry the Word of God and the anointed Holy Spirit as our identification, official identification. If you've lost your identity or destiny, it can be found where? In Christ. If you're in crisis tonight, friends, those watching online, Facebook Live, you can be in Christ and get out of crisis. See, when you know who you are, you cannot have an inferiority complex. You can't get depressed and discouraged and dejected and so confused about life. See, you are somebody in him. When you are somebody in Christ, God has prearranged things ahead of time for you. You are the workmanship of God. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared ahead of time for you and I to walk in and work out of. Walking by faith and not by sight causes things to be set up for us, ladies and gentlemen, ahead of time. Walking by faith and not by sight causes things to be set up and prepared for us ahead of time. What runs in your family does not have to run in you anymore, because you were in Christ. The Holy Spirit brings out the reality of redemption, and what happened to you in Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is greater than anything that ever happened to you. Now, the gospel technical points are wrapped up in these powerful prepositions: for, with, through, in, and by Christ. These are technical covenant points, power points that we need to embrace. For means substitution. That means it's a preposition, shows for substitute. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That means he did it for us. That means he stood in as our substitute as we were doing it. But he did it. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? With means just identification. That means you're in union with Christ. Through means applications. We all know the scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So that's how we apply our in Christ revelation. And then, of course, in just means that we are in union with him. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. 130-plus times. Some say 133, some say 134. But it's over 130 times in scriptures, the words in Christ or in some form of that, in him, in whom, is in the scriptures. And they open up endless possibilities for believers to access. Somebody say glory to God. And see, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, wants to lead us into the in Christ application store. Just like we have an app store, we have in Christ apps. They're in him, in whom, in Christ. And then they tell you who you are in the body of Christ, what you're supposed to do. And so when the Holy Spirit will help you apply those in Christ redemptive work and realities in your heart and into your life for your personal victory and for your personal change to the world around you. Praise God. It's through his power the greater works will be done because of your faith in Christ. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for these precious people that have received your word tonight. And Father, if there's anyone here who's not in Christ, and perhaps they are in crisis, I want to pray for them and allow us to pray and reach out and touch them with your grace and with your power. And if you're here tonight, if you're watching this broadcast, you're watching this service live or a replay of it, and you say, Pastor Ed, I'm in crisis. I'm not in Christ. Well, the way to get back, if you've lost your identity, if you've lost your destiny, if you've lost your bearings, spiritual bearings, so to speak, you can find them again in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So if you're not born again, or perhaps you've strayed away and lost your spiritual identity, it's gotten stolen, you can find it again in Christ. And you can find your identity brand new in Christ. So bow your head and bow your heart with me if you're watching. If that's you, if we're talking to you, and pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner in need of a Savior and a Redeemer. I thank you, Father, that you don't cast me out and that you don't cast me aside, but you bring me in. I acknowledge and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I repent of the sin. I renounce anything and everything that belongs to Satan and what he's done in my life. I turn to Jesus and I give my whole heart and my whole self to you, Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord. And you are my leader forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you pray that prayer, just send us a note, send us a text. And if you need prayer further, and again, every Wednesday night, we're going to be emphasizing these points about our identification with Christ, our spiritual family in our series. And so you can reach out to us by text, 210-941-3322, or you can send us an email at connect@twcc-sa.org. God bless you. We thank you so much for being with us tonight. Remember, stay in Christ and stay out of crisis. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.